Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church, a place to find refreshing faith in Jesus Christ. Visit us in Doncaster, East Melbourne. You're always welcome here.
So that we find ourselves being drawn up to God, out towards others, and on toward hope in the second coming of Christ. The second point is that each is productive. So faith works, love labours, hope endures. They're all doing something. So a true faith in God leads to good works, and we've been told that without works our faith is dead. A true love for people leads us to labour for them, and a true hope leads to endurance, which is that resilience in the face of oppression. The church in Thessalonica are a people characterised by faith, love and hope. So do we see evidence of this in our own lives? And do we see evidence of this as a church? Do we see the regeneration of the Holy Spirit? If so, great. But are we seeking to continue to encourage one another in that? Are we getting alongside people? And if not, why not? What is it that needs to change about us, or our perspective of who God is, or the desire of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to change? The second key thing about the Thessalonians that we can take on for ourselves: they are a people that are loved and chosen by God. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. We have two truths that run through Scripture. The first is that we can only know God and we can only be used by him because he has chosen to save us and transform us. The second truth is that we have to choose him and work and labour and use our will and energy to get to know him and to seek to be transformed by him. So he chooses us, but we also need to choose him. So when we look at the church in Thessalonica, we know that they're loved and chosen because we can see their choice in him, first off in verse 3, and the evidence that we've seen already that we've talked about in verse 3, their faith, their love and their hope. But also we can see that God chose them. And that's by the way that the gospel came to them. So, that's all right. It was not only in word, but it was in word. Okay. So it came preached clearly. It was also with power. So something happened. It wasn't just intellectual. And in the Holy Spirit. So that is that the Holy Spirit did the regenerative work. That's a hard word to say. And with full conviction. They had no doubt in the message that was being preached to them, but also no doubt in the message that Paul was bringing. Our church is approaching our 120th anniversary in November 2026, so not too far away. I have been attending Deep Creek for nearly 30 years. So my parents are here today. I don't know how old that makes you feel. But there are quite a few others that have been here long before I have. And I think that we can see the faithfulness of God to us as a church here at Deep Creek as we have grown and as we have changed over the years with many of our ups and downs. That is a demonstration to me that we are a people that are chosen by God. And we talk about being multi-generational, which we are. We have many generations at one time here. But I also think that evidence of the work of Christ working in us, that we are chosen and loved, is through the generations that we have seen go down in this church. There are some here today that I grew up with in youth group. And we now bring our children along to church. And for Gary and I, It was with great joy and a great privilege to be able to witness our children in Kalia and Zethan, but many, not just children, there's adults there too, make their own commitments in baptism and confirmation. And so I think the passing on of faith to the next generation is also an example of a Spirit-filled church. People using their giftings is an example of a Spirit-filled church. People being challenged to grow on Sundays and at growth groups and in prayer triplets are all examples of Spirit-filled churches. And confirmation, I think, that we here at Deep Creek are a people chosen by God, just like the church in Thessalonica. Number three. The church in Thessalonica are a people with a powerful testimony. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. So, for the Thessalonians, their testimony is that they received the gospel, they became imitators of Paul, Silas, and Timothy, and so of the Lord, and then it went out from them. What's particularly astounding about the Thessalonians is not just that they had become good imitators of Paul and therefore good imitators of Christ, but they did so amidst considerable suffering. I used a kid's book because I couldn't find a better image of suffering. But they were run out of their homes. They were alienated from unbelieving friends and family members. Their economic and social status was threatened and possibly derailed. Their access to the city's political and social institutions was restricted. They constantly were subjected to harassment and ostracism. And there was a mob that demanded money for them to be left alone. But none of them gave up their faith. They didn't walk away, even when it would have been much easier to do so. And even more remarkable than that is that they endured all of this with joy in the Holy Spirit. So that same Spirit that came, who preached the gospel to them, gave joy to those who received it. And we shouldn't be surprised by this. We know that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5 tells us that. But we are talking about that deep-seated knowledge and understanding that our joy originates from the Holy Spirit, who enables them and us to see beyond the present suffering to future deliverance. And so we're not talking about a giddy, happy feeling that we might get when we're feeling like things are going really well. Rather, joy stops us from being crushed when the circumstances around us require endurance. And that's what the Thessalonian church demonstrated day in, day out. On Friday, it was the anniversary of my mother-in-law's passing, 6-year anniversary. And I was reflecting on the overall time around her death. In the years of 2017, 2018, and 2019, for our family, were very challenging. And for me, I would say that they would have been the most challenging years that I've gone through to this point in my life. I'm looking at people, so this is why I'm going to get upset. I didn't do this at the 8 o'clock. In 2017, as many of you would know from both Pre and Jerry speaking at different events, Nora, my niece, Jerry and Pre's daughter, and Emily and Sienna's sister, passed away after a relatively short illness. And she passed away a few days before she turned 2. Then in 2018, my mother-in-law passed away from a very sudden brain hemorrhage. And in... I wasn't expecting this. In 2019, a dear, loved friend, sister, sister-in-law, auntie, Sharon Rutherford, passed away after being unwell for quite some time. And during that time, I questioned a lot about the goodness of God. I questioned a lot about the power of prayer and answering prayer. I questioned a lot about what I found hope in, as I could see how it affected not only me, but the people that I loved the most around me. And I really had to do some work and relearn of what I understood about joy in the light of what gave me hope, which is eternal life, which is true for all of us. And if my joy, I need a tissue, sorry. If my joy had been based on how I felt, during that time, I would have been crushed. It needed to be based on what I knew, despite what I felt. And I know that many of us in this church are going through all kinds of affliction, even at this very moment. Physical pain, mental anguish, broken relationships, being challenged about our faith in God, loss of loved ones, wives, sisters, even in our own congregation these last few days. Joy is a settledness or a contentment or a peace. Not because you feel okay, but because you are secure in knowing that we have a hope in eternity. And we see this in the Thessalonian church, that joy in affliction. So I ask you, I ask me, how do we respond when we find ourselves in difficult circumstances? Are we able to face what we need to in the power of the Holy Spirit, or do we want to walk away and hide? What is it that influences our joy? Because if our joy is dependent on not having affliction, then it's not rooted in the Lord. So where does our joy come from? Joy in the face of suffering was key in the testimony of the Thessalonian church, and it needs to be in ours too. And so we end with verses 8 to 10. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. Moving on to 9. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. This passage finishes up with a few points, and I can't unpack them today, but it is worth noting two things. Just as Paul had said it ought to be, if they'd been chosen by God, the Thessalonians' faith was visible and active. They were a model church whose transformation and witness was so powerful that others spoke about it, not even just in their region, not just in Macedonia and Achaia, but to places that even Paul had not been. And number two, the Thessalonians made a decisive turn from idols to serve the living God. This transformation reflects their commitment to authentic faith as they actively worship God while eagerly awaiting the return of Jesus, who rescues them from future wrath. And this is also key in this book, but it will be explored as we go on, because I'm only the first of 5 weeks. So, we've seen today in this first chapter of 1 Thessalonians that a thriving church exemplifies faith, love, and hope. And as people loved and chosen by God, the testimony of the Thessalonian church was powerful. As we think about what it means for us here at Deep Creek, we're reminded that we need to work out our faith. It needs to be cultivated. We need to engage in regular prayer and discipleship, and we need to ensure that that translates into good works. We need to labour in love, investing time in one another, serving through acts of kindness and support, encouraging one another and fostering those genuine relationships, and enduring hope. We need to look forward, remaining steadfast in our hope for Christ's return and supporting one another through trials and sharing in the joy that comes from our secure future. John Stott wrote, "No church can spread the gospel with any degree of integrity, let alone credibility, unless it has been visibly changed by the gospel that it preaches. By actively living these," I was about to do it again at the back over here, "out, we can strengthen our church community and become a powerful testimony to those around us, just as the early Thessalonians did. So may we, as a church here at Deep Creek, not only receive the gospel and pass it on, but embody it through the power of the Holy Spirit in a life of faith, of love, and of hope. Amen."